Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Senate Education Committee. It's March 3rd. It's 3:33. Today we have with us Senator Gardner, Senator Giesel, and myself, Senator Dunleavy. We do have a quorum. Senator Stevens is excused today, and Senator Huggins is running a little late with a subcommittee, some subcommittee work he's doing in other state business. So today we're going to hear three bills. One is going to be 191, a limited abortion services provided in school. 84 is going to be language immersion schools, teacher certificates, and 107 is the Regents Bill. We heard the Regents Bill at our last meeting, and today is an introduction for 191 and 84. It's the intent to move the Regents Bill today. 191, again, we're just going to introduce it. Get some background on it. We'll be able to ask a few questions. Then we're going to put it aside for folks to think about it over the weekend and so forth before we bring it up again here next week. And 84, we'll do the same thing. We'll introduce it, have folks ask some questions, then we'll put it to the side and folks can think about it, and we'll bring it up again here next week. Okay? So are we ready? So if you guys can identify yourself for the record, who you're with, and introduce the bill, that would be great.
Hi, my name is Krista McDonald. I'm a staff to Senator Dunleavy. I'd like to walk the committee through Senate Bill 191, Limiting Abortion Providers in Schools. Section 1 will authorize the State Medical Board to impose a sanction on an abortion services provider or affiliate who has violated AS 1403092, which is established later in this bill. Section 2 states that the State Medical Board shall suspend or revoke a licensee's license to practice should AS 1403092 be violated. Section 3 prohibits an employee, representative, or affiliate of an abortion services provider from presenting or delivering any instruction or program to students at a public school. It prohibits teachers from authorizing or allowing instruction or distribution of materials by an employee or representative of an abortion services provider or affiliate. It establishes civil damages for violations of this section. It prohibits a teacher or school board member who violates this section from receiving state funds. It also provides a definition for abortion services providers and an affiliate of an abortion service provider. In Section 4, the bill authorizes Professional Teaching Practices Commission to revoke or suspend a teacher certificate if the teacher violates AS 1403.092. Section 5 provides that a teacher, even a teacher with tenure rights, may be dismissed for violating AS 1403.092. Section 6 provides that a teacher with tenure rights is subject to non-retention for violation of this section. Section 7 provides that if any provision of this act is held invalid, the remainder of that act is not affected. And Section 8 simply provides an immediate effective date.
Thank you. And I think we handed out the sponsor statements too, didn't we? Did you get a copy of the sponsor statement?
Yes.
All right.
I have a lot on your desk, sir.
It's with the agenda.
Okay. So I'm going to read the sponsor statement to the record, and then we'll open up for questions from the committee. The purpose of SB 191 is to restrict the access of abortion service providers and their affiliates to public schools. Public education is constitutionally mandated by the state of Alaska. Many parents believe the role of public schools should be to provide skills, knowledge, complex instruction, and a forum for students to better understand their role in society. However, few believe schools should create a captive audience of children for indoctrination by an outside group, outside meaning outside the school. At times, these presentations contain lessons which are at odds with the values of children and their families. Many have become so alarmed at what is occurring within the public school system that parents are withdrawing their children from neighborhood schools in record numbers, and this is occurring across the country. These students are placed in alternative settings, homeschools, charter schools, and private schools where the values of the family can be protected from outside special interest groups with an agenda. We simply cannot and should not ignore this trend. It is critical that we examine the practice of allowing special interest groups into the classroom. What SB 191 does prohibits all distribution and display of materials, presentation, and instruction by an abortion provider, a service provider, affiliate, or representative in public schools, establishes penalties imposed by the State Medical Board on abortion service providers, affiliates, employers, or representatives of an abortion service provider, teacher, or school board members who knowingly violate the prohibitions. What Senate Bill 191 doesn't do does nothing to hinder school teachers from providing district-approved sex education to students in a classroom, and will not prevent abortion service providers or affiliates from providing information and education outside of the public school setting. By prohibiting abortion service providers' access to public schools, our schools can focus on what is important, the private sensitive matters where they belong, in the hands of parents and families. I respectfully request you support SB 191. So with that, I'll open up for questions for Senator Gardner.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Do we have any data about indoctrination by any outside groups, Planned Parenthood or others in schools?
Don't have any data today.
Will we be getting any?
Since the question is asked, yes, we'll work on that.
Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. In terms of establishing penalties imposed, looking at the bill itself in Section 1, it itemizes the issues that a board, for which a board may impose, the medical board may impose a sanction. Mm-hmm. But Section 2 is the board shall suspend or revoke the licensee's license to practice. So I guess I would like to know at a future meeting if there are any other sanction, any other parts that the board can sanction a licensee for that they have to suspend or revoke the license to practice.
Okay.
So we have listed here, I think there are 13.
And you're on page?
Starting in Section 1 itemizes 13 causes mm-hmm. for action by the board under which the board may impose a sanction. Section 2 says a violation of the provisions in this statute, in the new statute 1403092, the board shall suspend or revoke the license. So I'd like to know if there is anything else that a board, that the medical board shall suspend or revoke, and what other sanctions are available to them.
Regarding this bill?
Regarding anything. Any, say, misbehavior of a licensee.
Okay, I'm just trying to understand, regarding 191 or any issue across the board, because we have not researched what other issues are across the board.
Okay, the question I'm trying to get at is under Section 2, the sanctions available to the board for violation are to suspend or revoke. Are those the only sanctions available to a board? Are there other sanctions to the board? Yeah, sorry for not forming that question well.
Are there additional sanctions?
And similarly, in Section 4, that's page 5, line 4, it says the commissioner or the Professional Teaching Practices Commission may revoke or suspend a certificate only for the following reasons. And this section adds a violation of 1403092. But Section 5 says a teacher may be dismissed at any time for any of the may be dismissed. So we're not saying that in Section 4, we're not saying that violation for a teacher will result in suspension or revocation of their license the way we are for physicians. So the consequences for physicians are harsher than for a teacher.
And your question is?
Is that your intention?
To have the sanctions harsher for a physician than a teacher, okay?
And I'm interested in knowing why that is.
Mm-hmm.
And then in Section 6, a teacher who has acquired tenure rights is subject to non-retention for the following school year, and it lists some of the causes. And subject to non-retention, I don't know if that's may or shall. I mean, what that really means, that it can be considered. So those are my initial questions.
Okay. And just so I make sure I get the right wording, would you be able to give me a copy here next day or so of the questions?
Sure.
Yeah, just want to make sure I have it so we can get the research done. Additional questions at this time? So we're going to set the bill aside. We'll get answers to the questions. We'll have more questions coming in from folks that are looking at the bill. We'll pick the bill up again next week. We'll get into a deeper discussion. We're going to open it up for public testimony next week. So with that, we're going to lay it to the side. Next up, we're going to take just a quick one-minute break here. Thank you. We're back in session. We now turn to CS 84, Senate Bill 84, CS 84, Language Immersion Schools and Teacher Certification. And before us, we have Senator Olson and staff. Senator Olson, if you could introduce yourself for the record and your staff, and then begin your presentation, that'd be great.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much for hearing this bill. We appreciate the opportunity to go ahead and present what I feel is a fairly important bill. On the heels of what's gone on in the past and what's going on now, and as well as what's happening in the future. And first of all, I want to identify myself. I'm Senator Donald Olson from Golovin, and I have my staff with me, Cordelia Kelly, who has family roots from up there in Wainwright and has been watching the bill and been looking it over. And with that, Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I will go ahead and have her actually present the bill in its entirety and answer the questions that the committee people may have as well. So, Ms. Kelly.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chair Dunleavy and members of the committee. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on Senate Bill 84. For the record, my name is Cordelia Kelly, and I'm a First Alaskans Institute Public Policy Fellow interning in Senator Olson's office. As this is a languages bill, respectfully, Pagla Ifsi Uvanga Perna, Nalau Mi Sinera Cordelia, Aniranga Anchorage Mi, Inyuguk Tunga Wasilami, Inyupam Runa. Thank you so much again. Before you is SB 84. The goal of this bill is to provide a more efficient route towards teacher certification than the current framework by making it easier for language immersion charter schools to exist in Alaska. Immersion schools are proven to be the most successful model for second language acquisition, teaching not just the language, but teaching content through the language. The benefits of attaining a second language are widely researched and are found to be cerebrally additive, with language immersion not displacing ability in English development and studies, but providing many cognitive and scholastic benefits that allow students to often perform at higher levels than their monolingual peers. Alaska is home to several successful language schools and programs, such as Rokashula, a German immersion school in Anchorage, Frontieris, a Spanish immersion school in Wasilla, and Iaprun, a Yupik immersion school in Bethel. SB 84 contains provisions that would make it more effectual for existing language immersion schools and programs like these to operate by providing pathways for non-traditional teachers to come into the classroom who may have the necessary language skills and ability but may not have a bachelor's degree attained through traditional means. Last year, Alaska received national press when studies showed that our largest city, housing nearly half the state population, was home to the top three most diverse high schools in the nation. Alaska is leading America as a hub of culture and language. The Anchorage School District is responding, for example, by expanding its World Languages program to include Chinese and Japanese. SB 84 provides the necessary avenues and regulatory framework to be thusly responsive, growing and supporting our community statewide as a place of culture and languages, both indigenous and introduced. This bill accomplishes this through the following provisions. It creates a new designation for language immersion charter schools to respond to the robust demand for more immersion schools, teachers, and program growth. These language immersion schools will have high statutory standards for both the teachers and the school structure. This bill will also allow people who are proficient in the language to be part of the Academic Policy Committee. In current statute, only school employees, teachers, and parents can. It allows a pathway for a greater number of teachers to get into the classroom through the following means. Any traditionally certified teacher who happens to be or becomes a speaker of a language and wishes to teach in that language can now do so by this bill's creation of a language immersion endorsement. An endorsement helps the teacher to learn how to teach in an immersion environment. This is one avenue of getting more teachers into the immersion classroom. Secondly, the creation of a limited language teacher certificate. Current limited teaching certificates, Type M in regulation, are good for vocational training, Alaska Native Language and Culture, and military science. This bill removes the language component and puts it in its own limited teaching category, using the right tool for the job. The bill also expands this new limited teaching certificate to include world languages, not just Alaska Native languages. Limited language certificates are similar to the Type M certificates, but will be specifically for languages. A certificate issued by the tribe that the state can choose to recognize. A tribe has a local knowledge regarding who is fluent and who has the ability to teach that language. Other states such as Arizona, Wisconsin, and California have already passed legislation to get tribes more involved with education, realizing the importance of preserving local languages. And so, as we continue to work on and develop this bill, your feedback and questions are greatly appreciated in shaping legislation to nourish this very exciting time in our state. Thank you very much for hearing this bill.
Thank you. You have a sectional analysis. Do you want to go over that as well? Or?
Yeah, we can review the sections of the bill, absolutely. So in reviewing the CS 84, the section one of the bill is just saying that the bill requires a charter contract between a school board and a language immersion charter school to contain provisions requiring compliance in section two. Section two is the part of the bill that deals with language immersion charter schools. And this is what the bill does. Section 2 creates a subcategory of charter school called language immersion charter schools, applying all the same rules as existing charter schools and the same procedure for applying and the same funding formula. The only difference is that the language immersion charter school is required to spend 50% of its instructional hours in a language other than English. So it holds these schools to a higher bar than currently existing language charter schools. It also requires that the teachers at a language immersion charter school who is teaching that target language have mastery in that language and have had some training in immersion language education, as teaching immersion education is a particular skill set that is different from teaching a classroom in a teacher's own native language. It allows individuals who are speakers of that language to have substantial knowledge of the culture and people who are able to speak it to serve on the academic policy committee of that charter school in addition to parents and school employees. And this bill provides language that would allow the academic policy committee to submit to the department plans on how they can get to a 50% benchmark. Another thing that the immersion language charter school would be required is to have teachers teaching in the non-English classes would be required to have some additional immersion-specific training in order to teach those classes. That would be a requirement that would specifically apply to a language immersion charter school and that would not apply to a regular school, even if taught in Spanish or German or Russian. Section 3. Section 3 is the way that we implement higher standards and specific training for teachers at language immersion charter schools. This is modeled after one in Utah where they have a World Languages endorsement. We're creating one for Alaska. This is an endorsement that goes on top of your teaching certificate, and it verifies that you know the language and you know how to teach subject matter and content through the language. So that's what Section 3 does. Sections 4, 5, and 6, they deal with the state's limited teacher certificate program, most commonly known as Type M in regulation, and we're making a couple of changes there. So starting in Section 4, under current law, Type M certificates are available for vocational training, Alaska Native Languages and Culture, and military science. So what we do is we separate the language portion out of it and to create a new Type M limited certificate that is specific to languages, and then we expand it so that it includes all languages, not just Alaska Native languages. So this limited certificate can now be used by schools like Frontiers, Rural Kashula, Anchorage School District's Japanese immersion programs, for example, and it's not just specific to charter schools. So we separate out the language portion, expand it to all languages, and put in a couple of requirements on it that don't currently exist, so that the person has to know the language if they're teaching a content area through another language, and that they've had immersion training. Oh, another thing we do with the language immersion certificates is that we make them at the request of the academic policy committee on schools such as Fronteras. Section 5 Section 5 further amends the existing limited teacher certificate by making newly issued certificates valid for only 1 year. Upon verification by the school board or academic policy committee that requested the certificate, that the certificate holder has demonstrated skills in classroom instructions, curriculum development, and student assessment, the certificate can be extended. It can be renewed afterwards in accordance with regulation. Section 5 also prohibits the school board, from requiring additional academic training as a condition for a certificate renewal. And Section 6 is where we create a new limited language certificate specifically for teachers instructing a language other than English. A certificate can be issued for a particular language if there's an insufficient number of certified teachers in the state capable of teaching in that language. Section A within Section 6, we're going to break it down a little bit. States that have a limited certificate authorized by this section may be issued only upon the request of a school board or charter school academic policy committee. The certificate is only valid in the requesting school district or school. The certificate is valid for teaching language classes at any level and for teaching other subjects in grades pre-K through 8 if the languages of instruction is a foreign or indigenous language. A person teaching a subject other than the language must have completed a course in language immersion education and demonstrate subject matter expertise. Subsection B says that states that the department may issue a limited certificate if the certified applicant demonstrates instructional skills sufficient to assure the public that the person is competent as a teacher as defined by regulation. The applicant demonstrates subject matter expertise, and the applicant has the language proficiency sufficient to conduct classroom activities wholly in the non-English language. Subsection C states that the newly issued certificates are valid for only 1 year. Upon certification by the entity that requested the limited certificate, that the holder has demonstrated skills in classroom instruction, curriculum development, and student assessment, the certificate can be extended. It can be renewed afterwards in accordance with regulation. Subsection D prohibits the board from requiring additional academic training as a condition of certificate renewal. As we go on to Section 7, this is the part of the bill that deals with certification by local tribal governments. These are very limited certificates and may apply only to classes taught in and through an Alaska Native language. It's based on the idea that local communities in Alaska are the best suited to determine who is able to speak a local native language. They are of limited scope, and the only places these certificates are valid are in a language immersion charter school teaching in that Alaska Native language. They could be valid in another public school, but only with the permission of the school board. The school board would have to say, yes, we accept that certificate. And Section 8, it gives the commissioner of the department or the Professional Teaching Practices Commission the authority to prohibit a teacher certified by a tribe from teaching in a public school for the same reasons that any teacher could have on their teaching certificate, suspended or revoked under AS 14.20.032, which is the section for causes of suspension. Section 9 describes the administrative review procedures available to tribes and teachers certified by tribes in the case that the department or the professional Teaching Practices Commission prohibits the use of the tribal certificate in public schools. And finally, Section 10. Section 10 provides for a transition period from the current limited teacher certificate statutes to the new limited teacher certification statutes. This section is only relevant to limited certificates for teaching Alaska Native languages. Under this section, limited certificates for teaching Alaska Native languages are valid until they expire. If the limited certificate expires before July 1, 2017, it can be renewed under law as it stood on the bill's effective date. And such is the sectional analysis.
Thank you.
With that, Mr. Chairman, we're standing by for questions.
Thank you. Questions? Senator Gardner.
Thank you. Very nice presentation. You speak fast. I think I got most of it here. But the one question I do have is, if a limited certificate can be extended in a year, if the school board wants to, and if the sponsoring charter school requests it, but the school board cannot request as a requirement for extension that the person have additional training. And my question is, what we're doing here is bringing people who are not already credentialed teachers in because they have a specialty in the language and they understand the language. I can imagine a circumstance in which the person is enthusiastic, eager, working hard, great at teaching the language, but maybe lacks classroom skills. and can use help with that. The board couldn't say you need to take a class in classroom management or get some training in that. And so what is the reason for not allowing the board to require something else for renewal of the certificate?
The reasoning behind not requiring...
You need to identify yourself.
Oh, sorry. Cordelia Kelly again for the record. The reasoning, Senator Gardner through the chair, is that the idea that somebody who, for example, is already well-versed in, for example, in skill set like a carpenter, would it be required to go and take additional carpentry classes for a skill set that they already possess? So it's with that understanding.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, this is Senator Olson. Senator Gardner, what I'm hearing you say is that if somebody's lacking in the fundamentals of instruction, how do you go ahead and remedy the situation? Is that what
exactly?
The question is?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Is that Senator Gardner through the chair? Is that with regards to the limited certificate?
Yes.
Okay. So the limited certificate, this new language certificate was designed for applicants in mind, for example, who are perhaps working as a long-term substitute teacher or an aide in existing language schools or programs. And so those who are working with prepared content already with support of existing certified teachers and colleagues and within the support network of a school's administrative and academic policy committee. So who, in addition to knowing the language, but have the motivation and commitment to actually teach the classroom content. This is, of course, keeping in mind that many existing immersion schools like Iapun Frontiers and Rukoshua, where a certificate like this could be used to teach 6th or 8th grade. So somebody who perhaps is already working in the school as an aide or substitute teacher, and it's an avenue for them to become certified to teach in and of itself. So perhaps through a situation like that, they have prepared content and they are working with actual certified teachers and classroom staff to get up to par. It could also be an incentive for people in that situation, knowing that there's an avenue or knowing that there is some existing framework in place, to work harder and become motivated to get to that point of eventual certification. And of course, they would have to be demonstrate all the abilities and knowing all of the content, and the limited teacher certificate could be denied by the department. So it can be approved or denied if they don't demonstrate that they have the actual skill set, but also demonstrate that they don't know the content.
Follow-up, so?
Yeah, I'm not sure that I completely follow this. So you have a person who absolutely has mastery of the content and is capable of using the content. And the idea is because they don't have training in imparting that content and teaching it, the idea is that they have a support system within that school to help them. And if that works, fine. If it doesn't work well, and they think this person is capable of actually being a very good teacher in this language that they know very well, but they don't quite have the skills and the other teachers don't have time to pick up the slack there, why would it be a bad thing when the school doesn't want to lose them, wants to help that person be a much more effective person in the role? What would be the harm in saying, yes, they can renew their certificate, we've tried you out for a year and we really want to help you and we'll even pay for you to take the class we want you to take? Why would that be prohibited under this bill?
If they were... Senator Gardner through the chair, I can imagine if a school is offering to pay for all of the time of that person, also paying for the time or the cost of the classroom, I can imagine that that could be enticing. But for somebody who, say, is in the position of being a substitute teacher working at a school full-time, it can often be a costly burden and then also a costly time commitment to perhaps taking away from their day job if they are required to have additional academic training. So that's a little bit of the thinking behind that. But I absolutely welcome your feedback and additional thoughts on that.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, if I could, Senator Olson here. Senator Gardner, I hear what your question is. I don't have a good answer for you, but we can certainly try and remedy the situation so that there isn't a prohibition there for even insider-type help to go ahead and help a person who doesn't have the academic background or even the practical background for getting the concept across that is so sorely needed, especially when you're dealing with something as basic as a language.
Thank you.
Additional questions? Thank you for the detailed and extensive discussion on the bill. It'll give us something to think about here over the next few days, and we'll be scheduling it in the future, and this gives folks time to think about it and ask some more questions. So we'll put it off to the side for now.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very
much.
Oh, excuse me. We do have testimony. And Krista? Who was testifying?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Is this Kathleen Yar?
Yes, it's Kathleen Yar. So I do have a question on this bill, and it has to do with an example of a Japanese teacher who comes here to this town, Ketchikan, every year, and she's paid like a flat fee of $18,000 with no benefits from the school district, and she teaches classes at the junior high. Would this bill make it so, in fact, I should say this before, that they're thinking of actually cutting that program this year because the district's budget is tight. And so my question is, would this bill make it so that the district would have to pick her up and would have to put her on the salary schedule at a comparable level with the Type A teaching certificates? Do the Type M people, I assume they get the same salary and benefits as a Type A. So it's an odd question, but it does make me wonder.
Just a quick apology on my part. We hadn't opened it for public comment yet, so we're going to open it for public comment, and we'll take your comment as public comment, Kathleen, and if the senator and staff can answer that, would be great.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson here. It's certainly not the intent of this bill to go ahead and make it so that there are mandates, especially unfunded mandates, that we have for school districts to take on people like that. Well, this bill is mainly looking at the immersion charter schools and the subsequent certification that goes on afterwards, as opposed to trying and make it so that teachers that are already out there that are in danger of being cut are covered. That's certainly not the intent of the bill.
Any questions from members of the committee for Ms. Yar, who's online? Seeing none, thank you. And public comment is open, and we will continue to leave it open. Do we have anyone else that wishes to testify in this particular bill?
John
Sonnen? Mr. Sonnen, are you in the room?
Yeah.
Okay. If you can come up, please, identify yourself for the record, and figure about 3 minutes for your testimony.
Is there 191?
Excuse me?
Bill 191?
No, this is not.
It's in the second room. I'm watching long meeting. I need that one.
No, we
191.
Brief it is. 191. Back online, we have public testimonies open. Dr. Paramo from Matsuboro School District, are you online?
Yes.
Hola.
Me llamo Señora Paramo, soy de Matsuboro School District, and I should have gone to an immersion program. But this is Dina Paramo from the Matsuboro School District. I'm testifying today as the superintendent in support of Senate Bill 84, an act relating to language immersion charter school, relating to teacher certification, and relating to standards-based assessments in language immersion charter schools and language immersion programs. As a district who highly values choice in educational programs and delivery, this bill provides for specific certification and recognition of teachers at language immersion charter schools. Matsuboro School District has a Russian language neighborhood school and a Spanish language charter school. Immersion programs are unique in that they require educators to have language fluency in addition to content knowledge and teacher preparation. Senate Bill 84 formally recognizes through certification all those components of a successful immersion teacher and provides additional flexibility for school districts to hire non-traditional teachers who have the necessary language skills. Similar to the Type M certificate that currently exists for charter and career and technical education, this certificate values not only the preparation of teachers, but provides for the recognition of fluency in the language for which the immersion is grounded.
It is the district for whom the applicant of this certificate will be hired and will teach who will make the request. While MAT2's first priority is always to secure fully certified teachers, there's not always a sufficient candidate pool in these specialized areas. Senate Bill 84 will allow school districts the flexibility needed to provide the best instructors for their courses in schools. Senate Bill 84 additionally benefits school districts and the statutory process for retaining staff during times of shortage, which is an important consideration for the long-term maintenance of a choice program. I want to also express my support for a deeper look into the certification process for language immersion teachers. Though I support additional flexibility for our district and the language immersion school, Matsubara School District is also committed to hiring the very best. As you've recognized, immersion teachers are teaching traditional subjects in the immersion language and not simply the language itself. So to have little to no requirements of these individuals to pursue certificate renewal would be inconsistent with other practitioners. In summary, Matsubara School District's understanding of Senate Bill 84 is that an effective date for the transitioning to this new certificate for language immersion charter schools would allow ample time to communicate to our employees for which this certificate applies. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today and for your consideration in support of Senate Bill 84. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Questions from Senator Diesel.
Hello, Superintendent. You know, as we went through the section here, I was actually quite surprised that these statutes don't already exist. For example, the language immersion charter school is a new section. There was no previous statute authorizing charter schools.
Do you mean
the immersion charter school certification? No, the immersion charter schools. I'm looking at section 2 of the bill. It says it's a new subsection, and it says language immersion charter schools. I mean, we have several in Anchorage. There was not statutory authority for that in the previous?
We were able to have language immersion, but this bill for the certification would assist language immersion charter schools.
And we have Kate Glover online that may also. Ms. Glover, are you online?
I'm not certain of the question. Sorry.
Any additional questions for Superintendent Perarmo? And if not, we'll go to Ms. Glover that may be able to answer the question that Senator Giesel brought up. Kate, are you online? Ms. Glover, are you online?
Yes, I'm online.
There was a question regarding the bill from Senator Giesel. Senator Giesel?
Yes, I'm looking at section 2 of the bill, and it's a new subsection, or new section. It says language immersion charter schools, and it defines 50% of the instruction has to be in the language. We didn't have these statutes in place previously.
Through the chair, this is Kate Glover with Legal Services. There are already statutes in place that authorize charter schools. Those are under 1403-250. So there, under the current statutes, someone could certainly establish a language immersion charter school. This bill adds additional requirements for a language immersion charter school.
Thank you.
Additional questions for Ms. Glover?
We're going to take just a brief at ease.
Senator Giesel.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the CS for Senate Bill 84, version 29 LS0746 /echo as the working document before the committee.
And I'll object for purposes of discussion that we've already had. Is there additional discussion on the bill at this point? Seeing none, I remove my objection. We've adopted the CS. We're going to put it off to the side. We'll pick it up at a near future date, and we'll continue the discussion. So with that, we're going to take a quick break. Thank you.
Thank you very much for hearing the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Again, we're back in session. I want to welcome Senator Huggins, who was in other meetings on state business. We're now turning to House Bill 107, Board of Regents, Regional Residency Requirements. We heard HB 107 this Tuesday, March 7th. There's a zero fiscal note attached. Representative and staff, Crystal Randolph, are here for questions. This is CS for HB 107 version IA, again attached with fiscal note. Public testimony is open. Are there additional questions for Representative Gaddis? It's my intent to move the bill out of committee today. Members of the committee, questions for Representative Gaddis? Do we have anyone online to testify on this bill? I don't believe so. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to testify on this bill? Seeing none, are there any amendments? Representative Gaddis.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I did have a question from Senator Gardner that you asked me to bring back the answers, and so I just wanted to make you aware that I have those answers.
Please, if you would read the question and then answer.
For the record, my name is Representative Lynn Gaddis. I represent District 7, the Greater Wasilla area. And through the chair, Senator Gardner, you ask me to get a hold of the governor's office and ask how many people applied in 2014 and 2015, and here we go. In 2014, 29 people applied for the position of Board of Regents, and in 2015, there were 37 people who applied. The governor's office explained to us that when there is an opening on the Board of Regents, a public notice is placed on the State of Alaska's website for 2 weeks before they begin reviewing applicants. And as we reviewed the website, you do have to scroll down a bit. You have to know what you're looking for. For certainly, it would be my thought that there's certainly a word of mouth that there's a Board of Regents open, because I don't know anybody that goes daily to that website and scrolls down. So, I was surprised at how many people did apply. I thought that was a great question, and I thought I knew everything here in this book, but those were some good questions, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
Additional questions, Senator Gardner.
Well, for the terms of the bill, it brings up the question, were they from all around the state, or did they tend to be from, and maybe you don't know this, were they Anchorage, Juneau, Fairbanks?
So through the chair, Senator Gardner, we had a heck of a time right down to the 11th hour getting them to even respond. And essentially said, then I'll go on record and say that you had no idea. We did get a phone call response minutes before the meeting started, and those are the answers that we got at this time. So maybe people are busy. We did hear that somebody was out of the office effective the date that you asked. So I don't know those answers and where they came from.
Additional questions for the sponsor from the committee? Senator Gardner.
Thank you. Where does this bill go next? Is this the only committee, I think?
I believe this is the only committee, so it'll go to rules.
Okay, if it comes to the floor, I'll try to have that information, because it may be that we set a task that's impossible to fill. Yeah, thank you.
So public testimony was open. We're going to close public testimony. What is the will of the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I move the CS for House Bill 107, version 29LS0465/India-Alpha from this committee with individual recommendations and any attached fiscal note.
There is a zero fiscal note, and hearing no objection, House Bill 107 moves to the next committee of referral with individual recommendations. With that, we are closed. Thank you.